The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Let's make some trades, everybody. What's up, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Fantasy Football Today. We'll be talking about our favorite buy low and sell high candidates. We'll take a look at Thursday Night Football, which is Denver and Kansas City. Are we going to get Travis Kelce in this game? Looks like we're going to get Javonte Williams in this game. So what does that mean for the Broncos running backs? Adam Azer here with Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg. Sorry for the way I sound. If you're looking on YouTube, I can't even talk about the way I look right now. It's awful. I apologize for that. But, you know, we're working on it here. So, guys, one of the things I want to talk about is trading for Justin Jefferson and or Devon Achan right now. Jefferson on IR. Achan could end up on IR. I don't think you can just necessarily assume that Jefferson will be back in 4 weeks. But, Jamie, you know, you 4-1 maybe or 5-0. You looking to trade for Justin Jefferson right now, or are you staying away? Too risky?
Oh, I would definitely be trying to trade for him. You know, and I'll go back to the trade that you and I made. I wouldn't give those two players per se for Justin Jefferson, which the trade we made was before the injury, where I gave you Bijan Robinson and Jalen Waddle. But I wouldn't be opposed to making a significant offer for Justin Jefferson if I felt really good about my fantasy roster. So like somebody, I think it was Zach Brook, asked me, oh, how do you feel about the trade? Yesterday I said, you know what? If Jefferson comes back, I'm perfectly fine with it in 4 games because of how I feel about my team right now, because I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot. You know, so I think if you like your fantasy roster, you don't give up those two players. Again, make no mistake, that was a pre-Jefferson injury.
Now you got Alexander Madison in that too. It wasn't just Jefferson.
That's true. Yeah. But I think, again, part of it is like you give up a piece that's going to help somebody and probably two, but not two high end stars. And I think that's a good move to make if you feel really good about your roster. Like, you know, you got to understand, like, these are not the last injuries we're going to deal with. So you might be, you know, thinning out your depth a little bit. But if you are 4-1, 5-0, love your 3-2 team, then those are the type of moves that help you win a championship. Same thing with Devon Achane. And I think even the same thing with James Conner, you know, to a lesser degree.
Yeah, who has more value right now, Achane or Jefferson, Heath?
I would still say Jefferson, although I do feel more hopeful that Achane's going to play in the next 5 weeks than I do Jefferson. Still, like, we got a 2-game sample size of Devon Achane as the best running back in football. We've got a 2-year sample size as Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver or one in the top tier. So I'm a little more certain about Jefferson's status when he is back.
I think also with Achane, not that he's going to lose his job, but he might come back to both Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert playing.
Yep.
And that could be a slight problem, yeah, if not a big problem.
That's true. Jefferson has a bye in week 13. He's eligible to return in week 10. But like I said, you know, they put him on IR pretty quickly, so I don't know that he's – I have no idea how long. No, we don't know how long he's going to be out.
I did a segment with Rick Spielman yesterday on CBS Sports HQ, and he knows him as well as anybody. He drafted him, former Vikings GM, and he thinks that this was – we're not giving you the opportunity to get back on the field.
Right.
To protect him from himself is exactly what he said. So who knows?
Yeah. Who else was like that? They said they put him on IR so he could focus on his – oh, Cup. That's exactly what happened with Cooper Cup. They said, you know, they wanted him to get back to pretty close to 100%. and Cup missed only four games. Okay, I got a trade offer in our podcast league. I have Justin Jefferson. I'm 2-3. I have to trade him. I have to. And I got an offer, Michael Thomas and Tank Dell. And that is not going to do it. No. And I don't I don't blame you for making that offer. I don't blame you. But that's not going to do it. You got to get more than that for Justin Jefferson. And for Achane, I guess, as well. All right.
So as somebody in that situation, like, what are you looking for?
Oh, gosh. I honestly don't know. I would say, you know, I would say somebody like Jalen Waddle, who I think is still a buy low. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that's kind of fair, you know, because I would probably like to get one more player. I don't know it's going to be anyone all that good, but it's got to be a must start guy, I think, you know, on a much lower end.
Would you take Jalen Waddle and James Cook?
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm 2-3, what's that?
I would not give that much up.
You wouldn't? No. Okay.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I would take that. I think I would take Waddle straight up for Jefferson if I'm 1-4 or 2-3. I mean, I might even try to do a little bit better. Trying to think of who it would be. But yeah, like I would take Tony Pollard if people were panicking on him, but I don't think anyone's going to trade Tony Pollard for Justin Jefferson. I don't know. I have no idea what the market's going to be. Your needs are going to change based on your record, right? Like if I'm 4-1, I'm probably not giving up Jefferson for Waddle. But I'm 2-3.
Yeah,
I have
Jefferson in now three leagues. It was two. one is Dynasty, so obviously I'm not trading him. And I'm 5-0 in that league. And then the other one, I'm 4-1, and I'm just going to ride it out. You know, so it's, you know, for me as the Jefferson manager, and even in the IDP league, I'm 3-2. But like I said, I like my roster, so I'm not panicking. But I can understand you at 2-3 and having concerns prior to him getting hurt, wanting to try and get something that can hopefully save your season.
I didn't have concerns.
You had concerns about your roster.
Oh, yeah, about my roster. Who won your – oh, wow, Jamie, you beat Heath in the Dynasty League in week five.
One of the more surprising upsets of my fantasy career, because Heath's team is loaded, and I really got lucky to start the duo Thursday night of Sam Howell and Logan Thomas. I have DJ Moore in that league too, so that was a big part of it. But
yeah,
what those two guys were able to do, that Thursday night lead was like, oh, I got a shot. And it was funny because I think I was up like 70 points going into the afternoon on Sunday, or maybe Sunday night or Monday. And he still had the projected to win. I realized how good his team is. Yeah.
I think I was projected to win until Aaron Jones was ruled out.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
And it wouldn't have mattered. Like I think I had one guy who scored 9 points in his place, and that wouldn't have been enough. But you know, I'm sitting at 2-3, living up to my team name, loser. Thankfully, I get to play one of the tanking teams this week.
Yeah,
we're just gonna ride it out. I've still got my first round pick just in case this continues to go south.
All right, listen. You listen and you watch the podcast. You've got your best bets, and now it's time to follow your action. And the best way to do that is the CBS Sports app. It features lightning fast live scoring for all major sports. You can track your favorite teams or just individual games you have an interest in with the click of a button. It's also the way that I get my breaking news alerts. I can watch live sports on the CBS Sports app, okay? If games on CBS, bam, turn on the CBS Sports app. Stay on top of all the latest updates, and it's totally free, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, and the easiest way to keep your finger on the pulse of every game that matters. Download the CBS Sports app. Do it now. Do it now. All right, injuries, news, and notes. So James Conner is on IR. I thought about doing a bonus podcast yesterday, but, you know, I wasn't quite up for it. But if we had known yesterday...
What more would we have done? Like, we did a lot of it yesterday, obviously.
Well, I wasn't really that interested in Mario DiMercato. I mean, I would have put some claims in, but I would have put Osborne ahead of him. I still did. But I guess I was going to ask, like, did DiMercato become your clear-cut number one waiver wire priority?
Yes. Over Osborne?
Yeah, or in general.
It depends on what you need. You know, I think if you needed a receiver, it was Osborne. Needed a running back, it was DiMercato. They're both, I think, borderline starters in every format for DiMercato and three receiver leagues for Osborne. I don't think he's a slam dunk, but there's such a big opportunity for a team that's throwing the ball so much. So I think it just came down to what you need. I think if I can go through, I only have like six or seven leagues on CBS that run Tuesday night waivers. If I go back through the bids, I think it was probably somewhat equal. I know, like, I saw a big bid from Thomas for Osborne, but who knows how much of that was a homer bid. But Osborne and DeMarcado were clearly the one and the two.
Heath, what do you think? I actually really hate the schedule for DeMarcado. Rams, Seahawks, Ravens, Browns, Falcons are his next five games. I don't know that there's an easy matchup in there.
Yeah, I think, and it's questionable exactly how many touches he's going to get on a weekly basis. Like, he didn't profile as anybody who'd ever be a workhorse back. So I think it's probably a committee approach, but the Cardinals have been better offensively and better running the football than we expected them to be. I think you just view him as a borderline number two. Just like Jamie said, KJ Osborne's a borderline number three wide receiver. Like, there wasn't a league winner, and there probably wasn't even a week winner on the waiver wire, but there were some nice guys that you could plug into the back of your roster if you need them.
Okay. Other news items. Deontay Johnson says he'll be back in week 7 after their bye. Austin Eckler is going to play this week. Says 99.9% sure he's going to play this week. Travis Kelce practiced. We're going to take a look at that game in a little bit. Javonte Williams practiced in full. Greg Dulcich, is he definitely coming off IR this week or soon?
Not definitely.
The window is open.
Okay. Right.
We had two guys get the window open yesterday.
Greg Dulcich and?
Tyquan Thornton.
Okay.
So Jeff Wilson's window is not open yet?
Not officially, no.
Okay.
Dan Campbell is optimistic about Amon-Ra St. Brown playing this week at Tampa Bay. According to 24/7 Sports, it would be P.J. Walker in line to back up Deshaun Watson this week. Walker would get the start if Watson can't go against the 49ers. The Falcons acquired Van Jefferson from the Rams for a swap of late-round picks. Does this matter, Van Jefferson to the Falcons?
Well, you know, Arthur Smith finally had a game where they gave Kyle Pitts some targets, and he said, you know what, we got to change that. Got to bring somebody else in to ruin the fun. But no, I don't think it matters. It's an upgrade over Mac Hollins. It's an upgrade over, you know, just somebody who's a little bit more competent, I think, to help Desmond Ridder. I'm waiting for, like, to me, if the Vikings are going to trade Kirk Cousins, this to me is now the destination.
The Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder, I think it's more likely that Cousins might approve that. I couldn't see Cousins saying okay to going to New York. But I don't know if he wants to go to play for Arthur Smith right before free agency either. I might not help his profile. Can I add a second? Adam, you were wanting me to add a segment, and I just saw something, and I just wanted to, might be a new segment, but Adam makes a waiver move I didn't agree with.
Oh, great.
On the team we share.
Oh, crap. Yeah.
And I probably will be in the minority here, but it's a 10 team league. And we dropped Jahan Dotson for KJ Osborne. And if we have to start KJ Osborne in a 10-team league, we're not any good anyway. I would have rather kept Jahan Dotson on the bench.
I mean, that's, I guess, kind of fair, but I feel like I'd start
just voice my displeasure.
Well, I would, yeah, I'm okay with dropping Dotson at this point. I don't really know what, I don't really know when that's going to turn around. It's really weird.
No, I understand that.
Jamie, can you be the judge here? Fantasy court.
I would rather see what Osborne does at this point than Dotson.
Because they got the Bears this week. I think we could start him. I'd start him over Sutton in our league. I think we're starting him this week, Heath. I'd start him. Would you start KJ Osborne over Ramondre Stevenson this week? That's our decision.
And not in half PPR, I wouldn't. This is the last gasp of air for Ramondre Stevenson. If there's going to be a match, the Raiders have given up the most receiving yards to running backs this season. This should be in contention for a potential Jamie reviving his season.
I think so.
Okay, Pittsburgh edge TJ Watt dislocated his finger and he tore multiple ligaments, according to Tom Pelissero, but he's not expected to miss time. If he's not,
didn't the report say he popped it back in himself?
Probably. I mean, he's like ultra guy. Like, he's super tough. But they're so bad without him. So hopefully he's okay.
We got news.
Well, what do we got?
Anthony Richardson has been placed on IR.
Oh, okay. And the Jets are considering trading Mecole Hardman, according to Jeremy Fowler. What if he goes back to the Chiefs? Would he be the best wide receiver on the Chiefs?
I saw somebody say that the Chiefs already have three of Mecole Hardman. So I'm not sure that that's a reunion they're looking for.
All right. I think it would make a little bit of sense for them. But
I don't like it's not like they're going to play. They don't want to play anybody more than half the snaps anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe they could find 25 snaps that he could play.
Let's do some buy low and sell high. I think I'm up for this. All right. Who's our favorite buy low, Heath?
Man, you should start with Jamie because I was working on the stats that you wanted me to and didn't think about the buy lows or the sell highs.
Jamie, who's our favorite buy low?
Dave brought this up on HQ and I agree. I think T. Higgins is a good buy low candidate. You know, you're coming off where you might not even have him until week 8 because they play the Seahawks this week. He may not return. They have a bye in week 7. Week 8's against San Francisco, but you would like to have him no matter when. But with the way that Joe Burrow looks right now, if you can sell the fantasy manager on, you don't have Higgins, similar situation to Jefferson, you have a crappy record, and you can help them out with something in return, I think T. Higgins down the stretch will be a very good fantasy asset.
How you feel there, Heath? You ready?
Yeah, I would still view T. Higgins when he's back, kind of in the way that I do Olave and Devontae Smith right now, in that they've really underperformed. And there's reasons to be concerned, but I'd still like those would have probably been my top two candidates for a buy low. And they were all ranked pretty similarly for me before the season. And if they were all 100%, they'd be ranked pretty similarly for me rest of season.
Okay. So I don't really know. There's no one obvious to me that I want to buy low on right now.
So you don't want to buy on Devontae Smith or Chris Olave?
No. Yes, I do. Sorry. I was trying to think of other people.
Oh,
like last week I felt really strongly about Waddle. I obviously don't know if that's gonna come into play. The week before that I talked about buying low on some tight ends. I wonder if I doubt it. You can't buy low on Mark Andrews off this game. 6 for 65 on 10 targets. I would maybe consider buying high on Mark Andrews because I feel like they're just, I don't know, how many difference makers at tight end are there? I look at my teams, I'm like, damn, I wish I had a tight end. I hate my tight end. So I don't know that you can get Kelsey. And quite frankly, is anybody a little afraid of buying Kelsey right now or having Kelsey right now?
Having, no. Buying a little bit because you have to pay so much to get him.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have to pay peak Travis Kelsey price, I don't know if it's worth it. Injury and just the way that things have gone for him so far this season. And he's healthy to the fact that he's playing, but he's clearly got to, you know, battle through this ankle problem. But to spend first round capital on Travis Kelsey, even though he's going to still be the best tight end, I don't know if he's blowing away the field like he did last season. So that's the problem.
I'm not sure I'd be super excited about early round two capital. I'd have to buy really low. And that opportunity might happen because the guy who has him knows he's kind of been saved by touchdowns. And one really bad game could open that window up. But it's he's not close efficiency-wise to the guy he's been. Yards per catch, yards per target, yards per route, yards per game. It's pretty mid.
Yeah, I just don't think he's doing anything after the catch, Travis Kelsey. You know, you can't help but think he's just not right.
I think if you're trying to acquire Travis Kelsey, like you could potentially turn, let's say, like Sam Laporta and something into Kelsey.
I got to tell you, I'm seeing a lot of comments, a lot of emails, a lot of tweets about Sam Laporta. I feel like he's got to be a sell high right now. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad or anything, but people are treating him like an absolute superstar tight end. I wouldn't say that, but close to it. And I don't know. I think, well, we can talk about that when we get to sell high. But he's been awesome. Don't get me wrong. But how do you guys feel about Laporta? There's only one game with more than 5 targets, or more than 6 targets so far.
Well, I mean, you just said you'd love to have a tight end, right? You look at your fantasy teams and you'd love to have a tight end. I think anybody that's got Sam Laporta feels pretty good right now. So again, you know, whenever we talk about trading tight ends and even the same thing with quarterbacks, except there's just a little bit more depth at the position, what are you replacing those guys with? You know, so if you're selling, you know, like Dave had on our trade segment on HQ, selling George Kittle. And my response to him whenever he brings up a tight end is, okay, what are you replacing George Kittle with? And Dave gave a great answer. You know, I'll just stream with Logan Thomas or Dalton Schultz or somebody you know, whatever I'm getting back for George Kittle is going to replace something else, that which is the right answer. But if you're giving away Sam Laporta, are you comfortable enough with those other streaming options that, you know, you may have missed on because of when you're trading him? So that's what it comes down to, I think, with that. I think for Laporta, if you can get something great in return, you should do it. So not a bad scenario at all. However, if I have Sam Laporta, I'm probably not necessarily looking to get off this run that he's on.
You know, I'll tell you, Pollard and Lamb, I still have total faith in them. I don't know how you guys feel about them. We talked about it on Monday's Beyond the Box Score, but I'm just not all that worried about the Cowboys offense. I think a lot of people are. But Pollard and Lamb, do you still, how do you value them, guys?
They've been dinged. Like, I don't view them both as late first round picks anymore. But I do think they'll both be better than what they've been so far. So some kind of somewhere in the middle, probably a little bit more concerned about Pollard just because it's been a huge workload and the efficiencies, all the efficiency advantages he have are pretty much disappeared. And so I wonder if they try to get somebody else more work so they can have the Tony Pollard back that they had the last couple of years.
If you are going to acquire them, do it before Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are about to go nuts against the Chargers.
Hopefully. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll talk sell highs when we come back. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. And we are back. Welcome back, everybody. Sell high time. And then we'll get into some buy or sell from the audience and Denver at Kansas City.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, so Jamie, you can start. Who's your favorite sell high right now?
My favorite sell high right now, I don't know if I have a favorite.
Heath, you got one?
Come back to me.
I still try to sell Kyren Williams high, or is it like he's still a top 12 running back? He's still got a bunch of touchdowns. I think Matthew Stafford's touchdown problem is probably going to go away now that he's got Cooper Kupp and Puka, and that's going to mean less short yardage rushing touchdowns for Kyren Williams. It also looks like less targets for Kyren Williams with Kupp and Puka there. So I would try to sell Kyren.
Yeah. So he only had two targets last week, which not good. 13 carries though. So you still have this, you know, primary ball carrier. So you'd sell him, but you still view him as what, like an RB2?
Yeah, around RB20, probably rest of season.
Would you trade him for Justin Jefferson?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Would you rather have Kyren Williams or Deion? No, that's stupid. Let me just take a look at some running backs here. Kyren Williams or Pacheco?
Probably Pacheco.
Okay. I would take Kyren still.
It's really close, though. Those guys are right in the same range. I probably wouldn't be looking to make that deal just because I don't have a strong feeling either way.
All right, Jamie, you got to sell high?
I would try and see if you could flip DeAndre Hopkins right now. That might have been his best game.
Okay. That works for me. I've got some stats that might lead to some trade talk. Segment called, How Crazy Is This? How crazy is this? Matthew Stafford is second in pass attempts, but 15th in fantasy points among quarterbacks. Is that going to start to rise, those fantasy points with Cooper Kupp back?
Oh, I hope so this week.
go ahead.
Yeah, I think, like we talked about this the first couple of weeks, how the total number of pass attempts that Stafford had early in the season, how it wasn't likely that was going to continue. That 55 attempt game is still doing a lot of work, but he's going to be in the high 30s. I think he's going to be top five in terms of pass attempts. And I picked him up just this morning to start him against Arizona. So it's funny that his yardage actually cratered the first game Kupp was back. But he got the second touchdown.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me a little bit of Tom Brady and Justin Herbert last year, where you could have kept looking at the volume and saying, oh, the touchdowns are going to come and he's throwing so much and he's buy low. And it never happened. But one of the differences to me is the air yards, because Brady and Herbert were throwing a ton, but they had among the lowest air yards per target or per pass attempt in the NFL. Stafford is actually throwing the ball deep. He's among the highest in air yards per pass attempt. So I think that's a better formula. Those guys are better quarterbacks. I don't know if Brady last year was a better quarterback. Herbert certainly was. But
he missed Tutu Atwell on what would have been a huge touchdown.
Yes.
And that might have changed some things about how you feel about Stafford this week.
It actually changed how I felt about Atwell. I wasn't like super quick to drop him. That could have been a huge play.
No, we talked about this yesterday, that he played, I think it was his highest snap share.
Yeah. Didn't get a lot of targets, but all right. How crazy is this? DJ Moore is wide receiver 5 in PPR, despite being tied for 27th in targets.
I actually, one of the crazy stats that I was going to give you was that DJ Moore is averaging 15.6 yards per target, which 15.6 yards per reception would be an outlier for DJ Moore. His career best in yards per target before this year, 10.1, which is also right around where Tyreek Hill has been for his career. There's some significant regression coming for DJ Moore, for sure.
Yeah, the targets thing, I mean, he had 2 in week 1, so that's really hurting him. It's then 7, then 6, then 9, then 10. And in the last 2 weeks, we're talking 8 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown against Denver, and 8 catches for 230 yards and 3 touchdowns at Washington. So DJ Moore, I'm surprised that his name didn't come up in the sell high segment, maybe because he played so long ago. Like Thursday feels like, you know, 5 weeks ago, not one. But are you like buying this breakout for Moore? And Heath just said regression's coming, or would you be looking to try to cash in right now?
I mean, look, if you could turn DJ Moore into Tony Pollard or Saquon Barkley or some of these, you know, running backs that have been injured or struggling, or maybe Austin Eckler, if you want to, you know, aim for the, you know, the highest possible guy you can get, that's certainly a great move to make for somebody that, you know, maybe struggling with some injuries or looking to, you know, help the receiving core and might have a Kyren Williams or an Isaiah Pacheco and a good running back core at this point. But what if this is the, you know, finally the season of DJ Moore being the player that we've talked about because he finally has a better quarterback? And so, yes, there's going to be regression coming from his fantasy production because what he's done the last 2 weeks is amazing and in some cases historic. But there's probably still a very good fantasy season coming for DJ Moore that we've been just waiting and waiting and waiting for. And you don't want to miss out on that.
Rest of season, rank them: Devontae Smith, DJ Moore, Chris Olave.
Moore, Smith, Olave. I'm terrified about Derek Carr's shoulder at this point.
I've got a Smith more Olave.
I think that's. I mean,
you said this on yesterday's show. Just the schedule coming up for the Bears is so favorable.
Okay. All right. Let's go to our next. How crazy is that stat? How crazy is this? Sorry, I got the segment name wrong. The only two starting quarterbacks without an interception are C.J. Stroud and Brock Purdy.
Excuse me.
What?
Oh. I'll counter that with my own. How crazy is that? Gardner Minshew has a 0% turnover worthy throw rate this year. He has not thrown a pass that was turnover worthy all season long.
That's good. Yeah, he also does not have an interception, but, you know, he's only started one game. But, yeah, I just want to shout out to C.J. Stroud. Great job. No interceptions through five games. That's impressive.
No sacks through the last three, and no turnovers at all through the last three. He last fumbled in week two.
Wow. All right, how crazy is this? This usage for Travis Etienne? I don't think we saw this coming. Travis Etienne is second among running backs in carries and sixth among running backs in targets. Yay.
It's great.
It's fantastic. And I've got a Jacksonville stat because it might apply to Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby both. Their red zone struggles passing. Trevor Lawrence has completed 40% of his passes in the red zone. Now, Chris did a good job of highlighting the incompletions, and like 75% of them were caught out of bounds. So I'm not sure what that means, but this is a team that struggled in the red zone a little bit last year, has struggled in the red zone this year. I wonder if they just run the ball in the red zone a little bit more with the success that ETN's having. Yeah. And then Tank inside the five, if he can keep that role.
Yeah, actually, we saw Etienne in that role in week five. It was kind of like James Cook in week four. They finally got him the goal line touch, and I think they did that with Etienne in week five.
I think Tank had a third or fourth and one that he didn't pick up this week as well, right?
Yeah. All right, last one. This one I think is the craziest. How crazy is this? The two leaders in general, any position, in green zone targets, that's inside the 10-yard line, are Jacoby Myers and Davante Adams. They are 1 and 2, and actually Jake Ferguson is tied with Adams for second. Myers has 7 green zone targets. Adams has 6. And Las Vegas quarterbacks are among the league leaders in green zone pass attempts. But that really, I have no idea what to make of that. You know, Myers has 3 touchdowns already. He's a guy who, for a portion of his career, was allergic to touchdowns. But that's weird, Jamie. The two leaders in green zone targets are the Raiders receivers.
I mean, look, Jimmy Garoppolo's done well for those guys, you know, aside from Adams, who knows how healthy he is playing through the shoulder injury against the Packers in week five. But, I mean, at this point, they're both must-start guys. Not that anybody had to tell you that on Adams, but Jacoby Myers has got top 15, certainly top 20 upside rest of the way.
As much as people don't like Josh McDaniels and don't like Jimmy Garoppolo, I love the way this offense is set up. Because all the targets are going to Adams and Myers, except Josh Jacobs has an 18.8% target rate, which leads all running backs. It's completely concentrated around those three guys, and fantastic for fantasy. What do we do with the double revenge game? It's against a Bill Belichick defense. Like, you've got Jimmy and Jacoby going against Triple. Belichick.
Josh McDaniels.
And Josh McDaniels.
Well, I don't know if I care about a Bill Belichick defense at this point. They stink.
It's ugly in those streets. It's I think you're starting clearly Myers. Garoppolo's a sleeper, I guess, at best, in two quarterback and super flex leagues. And if you get points for coaches.
All right, let's go to Denver and Kansas City on Thursday. Nah, 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 nah. Thanks for abandoning me, Dave. Here's a wacky stat. Patrick Mahomes has scored only 0.6 more fantasy points than Russell Wilson.
I've got a wacky stat for that one as well.
Let's hear it.
Rashee Rice and Kadarius Toney rank first and second in drop rate.
Yeah. That's not helping. It's not helping Rashee Rice. It's a good thing to bring up because, you know, why isn't he playing more? He's so many drops so far.
That might be it. But I legitimately think, like, Matt Nagy's talked publicly about it a couple times in the last week and a half, that they have this theory that they've got 7 wide receivers that all do different things well, and they're just going to play the guys in these certain situations, and nobody's a full-time player.
Yeah. Well, Pacheco is pretty much a full-time player, right? He's got a good, nice little role. And here's your stat of the game. The Broncos allow the most fantasy points to running backs, 6.13 yards per carry to running backs. They allow the fourth most receiving yards per game to running backs, and they've seen the most running back carries per game in the NFL. When I looked at your rankings, and I know looking at them on Tuesday isn't always the best idea, but I think Pacheco was something like RB 18 or something like that. I thought maybe this would be a week where he could sneak into the top 12. How do you guys feel about Pacheco?
I mean, he's top 15 for me. Okay. I don't know who's low on him.
I may.
I've got him 12th.
Okay. I'm sorry.
12th in the projections. I don't know if those get updated quicker than the rankings.
Probably my bad. I see his top 13 for everybody right now. Okay. Oh, no, I was thinking of somebody else. Who was I thinking of? I guess it doesn't matter. Anyway, I apologize. Pretty much a must-start guy, right?
Yes.
It's actually a very good week for the top end running backs, and the reason I tell you that is because when I have to do start sit, I look at the start percentages, and I try to avoid guys basically that are started in 80% of leagues or more. And there's 15 to maybe 18 running backs that are 90% started. It's very difficult.
Okay, so Pacheco or Kyren Williams this week?
Pacheco.
They're both pretty good.
Kyren Williams top 12 as well.
Yeah, they're both pretty good this week. All right, just start Pacheco.
Right.
We'll deal with it later in the week, okay? I guess we can't really do that. Pacheco or KJ Osborne?
That's not close.
All right. Pacheco or...
I don't think people should be sitting... the only way you're sitting Pacheco is if you have two top 12 running backs. We're not sitting him for the number three wide receivers.
Yeah. I think anytime you have a guy who was drafted kind of late and he's a must start this week, I feel like that's when people do have questions. But all right, we like Pacheco. That's the bottom line. Mahomes is a must start, but man, it would be nice for him to, go crazy here.
Oh, wow. Richardson can miss up to 8 weeks.
Oh, crap. Okay, back to this game. You're not giving any thought to sitting Patrick Mahomes, are you?
No.
He's QB2.
Any Chiefs wide receivers?
Desperate play, I'd play Rajee Rice, but that's it.
Yeah.
Start Kelsey if he plays. If Kelsey doesn't play, any interest in Noah Gray? Gray had 5 targets in week 1, 3 for 31 on 5 targets.
Do it, Jamie.
Noah, thank you.
I thought you were going to say Noah Way. All right, so the Broncos are probably a little bit more difficult. Start or sit Russell Wilson this week?
I would try to sit him if you can.
I've got him as a low-end top 12 guy.
Okay, yeah, he just keeps
starting him
done
for the most part.
It's bothering me, and I have him on a couple of teams, and it's bothering me.
Well, it has been 2 weeks, I think it happened because he ran for 40 yards. Yep. And 1 week, as we often talk about, there was the Hail Mary. But he is also averaging his second most rushing yards since 2017.
He's definitely been good. It's hard to completely get away from him. But I do think that you look at that while the Chiefs the last 2 weeks have allowed their two highest fantasy point totals to opposing quarterbacks, both of those were on the road. In their two home games this season, now take it for what it's worth, because Justin Fields was struggling at the time and Jared Goff is always bad on the road, they fell those two guys to under 16 fantasy points. Now, I would say if you're looking at the broader picture, you could probably say Russell Wilson's performance this year, along with what Justin Fields for the entirety of the season and Jared Goff the entirety of the season, all around the same type of fantasy production. So I think this is going to be I really feel like at some point this is, if it hasn't already, this Broncos team is going to completely unravel. And it might unravel in a primetime game in Arrowhead Stadium. Now, Russell Wilson in 2 games last year, 1 with Nathaniel Hackett, 1 without, did have 2 good fantasy games against the Chiefs. But I feel like this Chiefs defense is better. And so going into Arrowhead, short week, with how everything is going, Russell Wilson's using baseball analogies at this point to try and talk his way out of what's happening right now. He said, if you go 1 for 4, you hope to go 2 for 5 and just swing away or something to that degree. Sean Payton's talking about how he's not getting animated at Russell Wilson on the sideline. They're talking about plays. Well, clearly you're getting animated at Russell Wilson on the sideline.
Right.
So this just feels like everything's about to really, really implode unless they surprise all of us and beat the Broncos. Beat the Chiefs, excuse me.
They've beat the Broncos many times this year.
They have beat the Broncos many times this year, yeah. So I'm nervous about Russell Wilson. So he's outside my top 12. He's just barely in, I think I have him 16th.
Well, okay, so I'll try to do this math here, right? So if you took Russell Wilson's fourth quarter yards.
Okay. This has got to be the ultimate.
Well, no, this is why he keeps finding fantasy production when it looks like he's having horrible games. he's thrown his, okay, if you took his fourth quarter production and, you know, for, and you made that for like times four for a full game for like all four quarters and multiplied by 17, he'd be on pace for 6,000 passing yards. That's how prolific he's been in the fourth quarter.
So he's been clutch.
Yeah, sure. All right. So Wilson or Minshew?
Wilson for me.
I would go Minshew.
Wilson or Stroud against the Saints with Marcus Maybach?
Wilson for sure.
I'd go Wilson there.
Wilson or Geno Smith at the Bengals?
I like Geno better because I think that's going to be a big-time shootout between the Seahawks and the Bengals. Oh,
right. I like Wilson better. I'm a little scared of Geno.
Denver running backs, any interest in any of them?
If they all three play, definitely not. If Javonte is out, I think Jaleel McLaughlin's still a low-end starter. Number two running back.
Yep.
Yeah, so I told you that the Broncos have seen the most running back carries in the NFL. The Chiefs have seen the fourth fewest per game. And it's kind of weird because it's not like this year they're blowing teams out. So, but teams are just not running on the Chiefs, except for the Lions in week one. They had 28 carries. No team has had more than 15 carries combined for a full team against the Chiefs in the last four games.
So maybe the right answer of the Broncos running backs, if they all play, like if you have to start one of them, it might be Samaje Perine, because he has been their best running back in the passing game. I think he's probably their best in pass protection. If they're going to be down three scores in the second half, which they probably are, it might just be a bunch of Samaje Perine.
If they all play, you're saying.
Right. Well, I mean, I've got McLaughlin as a low end number two and Perine as a fine flex right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about those Denver wide receivers?
It's hard to trust them. I mean, it feels like, you know, maybe Russ is starting to lean on Judy a little bit more. Now, I don't know how much of that was, you know, Sutton lined up against Sauce Gardner quite a bit and, you know, Russ not wanting to take that challenge. So at best, they're number three receivers, you know. So if you want to look at Sutton's body of work and say, okay, he's still the best one, I think Judy getting healthier is a big part of that. So I would lean toward Judy if I had to pick one of the two, but I would prefer to sit both of them.
86% snap share for Judy last week was a season high. I'm Judy over Sutton, but they're both number three wide receivers.
KJ Osborne or a Denver guy?
I'll take the guy facing the Bears.
I've got Judy, Sutton, Osborne.
Garrett Wilson against the Eagles or Jerry Judy?
Wilson.
Okay. Jaleel McLaughlin if Javonte's out or Jerry Judy?
McLaughlin.
Yep, in all formats.
I want to tell you all about a fantasy mistake I made. Don't do this. Last week, I was doing my waiver claims, and I don't know why. I didn't want anybody, I guess, and I put in a claim for a kicker. And I got him. And someone dropped Jerry Judy. And I couldn't get Jerry Judy because I had to go to the back of the line in the waiver wire priority.
Yeah, great call. So, I've been doing the same thing. I've been waiting on kickers.
Or DSTs. The exact reason. Yeah, like, especially during the bye weeks. Like, sometimes crazy drops happen. So don't waste your waiver priority on a player you don't need, just in case.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that because I realized this, obviously, a long time ago, but, like, came to mind because of a different transaction. So in one league that I'm in, this was like week three or so when Kamara was coming back, somebody dropped Kendre Miller and he has keeper value and somebody else, I don't understand why, dropped Zach Charbonnet. Oh. And so I had picked up Miller and then I could have had Charbonnet because I think I was first on waivers. And so even though I want to keep Miller, I would prefer to have Charbonnet for the season. So, you know, whenever those waivers kick back and you can't make those moves, it's frustrating.
Yeah. And I obviously, I knew that. I don't know why. It was just laziness on my part. I should have just waited, but I was like, just get it out of the way. That was just dumb. All right. Chiefs DST is a start. You're going to sit the Broncos tight ends. Chiefs DST is top six for everybody. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some of your buy or sell. We got some stats from Heath, unless he's already used them all throughout the show. try to finish with your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
We're back here on Fantasy Football Today, and let's do our buy or sell. Although, guess what? I deleted it from the notes. Oh, I found it. Okay, there we go. This is from Ed. Ed says, buy or sell, Chuba Hubbard is the best Panthers running back rest of season.
I'm going to sell because I want to sell it. I don't want to believe it.
I will sell. I will say that Chuba Hubbard has been the best Panthers running back so far.
Buy or sell from John Dean. Sam Laporta is a top three tight end.
Sell.
Sell.
From Newtel. Buy or sell Jacoby Myers finishes as a top 20 wide receiver. Buy or sell that David Montgomery is more fantasy relevant than Jacob Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, rest of season. And buy or sell Adam gets sick at least two more times before the end of the fantasy season.
Buy, and I will sell for your health's sake.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so Myers top 20. Like, you know, Montgomery over Gibbs is easy. Me getting sick two more times is not easy. I don't know where that's going. But right now, Myers is actually wide receiver 20, but that's in four games per game. Myers is wide receiver 16, which is actually surprising. Yeah, but you know what? If you took out the Aiden O'Connell game, he's probably like top 8. So that means... Well, really, I mean, you got to evaluate him with Garoppolo. He's been incredible. He's had double-digit targets in all three games. So that means you'd have him ahead of maybe DK Metcalf?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't think I could do that.
Well, I mean, in terms of what his production might be, yeah.
I'm still going to go DK there, but that's interesting. Deebo Samuel, CeeDee Lamb, Calvin Ridley. Would you take Myers over any of those guys?
Over Deebo.
Yeah.
Okay. Next buy or sell is from James. Buy or sell, Alexander Mattison sees an increased workload and establishes himself as a consistent top 18 running back.
So,
I would sell because of the word consistent.
From David, buy or sell Jalen Waddle.
Buy
or sell from Kevin. DeAndre Hopkins will be a top 10 wide receiver rest of season.
Sell.
I think he'll be top 20, though.
Buy or sell from Christian. Diontae Johnson.
Buy.
He's cheap enough. I think you can buy.
I don't know where you were taking him. I know Jamie and I were taking Diontae Johnson. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jamie, but three receiver PPR league around 48th overall. 4-5 turn. Toward the end of the process. Heath, how about you?
I don't remember at all. I'd have to look at my preseason rankings. I do not believe, it doesn't seem like it was quite that high. I would have guessed round 5 if you would have asked me, which is right behind that.
You guys think he'll live up to that?
Preseason rankings still on the site. Let's see where y'all have.
All right. Let's see how good my memory is. It's terrible.
You think he's a top 50-ish player, Diontae Johnson? I'd say no, because part of the reason was I had more faith in Kenny Pickett at that point.
Our preseason rankings are not loading.
Yeah. And how long is Pat, like, does he get to play some games with just Pickens and not Pat Freiermuth? Because I think that would help.
Maybe, but Freiermuth is so uninvolved.
I'm afraid that he might, like, completely destroy Jalen Warren.
Oh, that's a good
point. So much of Warren's value is targets, and it's... I mean, running backs get targeted about the same area of the field as Deontay Johnson.
All right, Heath, you got any more stats you want to throw at us?
Yeah, two stats and one buy or sell that I'm having a little panic over this morning. Josh Downs has been targeted on 24% of Gardner Minshew's throws. So if you expect Minshew to throw 32 to 35 passes against Jacksonville, you should expect eight or so targets from Josh Downs. I actually, in a couple of leagues, prioritized him over KJ Osborne.
And I think that Michael Pittman has like a 30% target share, right?
Just right, almost right at 30%. Yes.
Yeah.
And then we talked a lot on Sunday night's show about Joe Mixon and how all they do is run him up the middle. He does have the second highest rate of rushes up the middle at 66% of his rush attempts, or just right up the middle. There is a back who has been even more hamstrung by his coaching staff. 74.6 of his rush attempts have been up the middle.
Josh Jacobs.
Nope.
Oh, Zach Moss.
Nope.
No.
Both of those guys, I think, are in the top 10.
All right. He's got to be doing poorly here. I'm going to say,
yes.
I'm going to say Miles Sanders.
It is Najee Harris.
Ah.
74.6. Like, just no chance. They're not going to throw it to him. Not going to give it to him outside the tackles. Just run him right up the gut.
Yeah. Well, I hear and then that. I wonder, what do you think? Like, do they just feel like those guys don't have the speed, Mixon and Harris in particular, to get to the edge, and that they should just be smashing the ball into the line of scrimmage? It's so annoying.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it might also be the opposite. They think they need to be doing that, and they trust Najee Harris in a dirty situation like that more than Jalen Warren.
Yeah.
We're going to soften up the underbelly of the defense and then hit him with play action.
Yeah,
never heard that coach before.
And then I think I made a terrible mistake. I'm in a super flex league where I can only roster three quarterbacks, even if the guy's on PUP or IR. Ooh. And so I have Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, and Kyler Murray. I dropped Kyler Murray this morning for Gardner Minshew. Oh. But now I think that it's more likely that Kyler Murray plays before Anthony Richardson. So I think I have to drop Anthony Richardson for Kyler Murray.
It's... I think you have to. 8 weeks. Could be 8 weeks. That's crazy. Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, that is sad. I would never play that. I hate that league.
You know the commissioner.
Is it Jamie?
No.
Is it Dave?
You'll never guess.
Well, tell him he sucks. That's like one of my favorite.
It's Scott White. I can't believe you told Scott White he sucks. He's the nicest guy at CBS. Come on.
Is he the nicest guy at CBS? I mean, he's up there. No. Who's the nicest guy at CBS? Used to be Al.
Al Melchior was definitely, no question.
Yeah, that's probably me.
Who's the nicest guy at CBS?
Just kidding on that one.
Marone.
Oh, Marone, yeah. He's a saint. Yeah.
Not right. Adam Azer,
no,
for sure.
That's not me at all.
Could be Pete Frisco.
Come on. All right, he's been a nice guy. Right. Not that nice. He would scoff at that. Okay.
Dave is up. Oh,
It's Barone. Just leave it at Barone.
It could be Thomas.
No, even he said no. Thomas has like a secret evil streak. We just don't know it.
What?
No, he's a good guy. Most traded player. He's such a good guy. I'm pretty sure he's going to edit for me so I can take a nap today. Is that right, Thomas? Yeah, that's my boy. All right. Breece Hall is the most traded player. Jalen Waddle's number two. Calvin Ridley, three. Puka Nacua, four. And Raheem Mostert, five. Some spicy names there.
There could be a sell high window on Breece Hall, you know, with the Vera Tucker injury and what you just saw from him. I don't think the concern should be about his health moving forward, because he seemingly has put that behind him, obviously barring some sort of injury. But is the offensive line going to be such a detriment to him now?
Yeah. Would you sell Breece Hall for Raheem Mostert, who's set to have maybe a huge stretch right now?
I would not sell him for a 31-year-old running back. No.
It's a tough. It's tough to think about selling Breece Hall, because his schedule goes Eagles, bye, Giants, Chargers, Raiders, Bills, Dolphins. Like he, that 5 weeks, he might be the number one running back in fantasy.
That's a good point.
It's, are we just, yeah, like not even considering the ACL. Just, he's just.
No, I don't. I mean,
it's a bit crazy, I hope not. Right? We never thought a guy could recover quite like this from the significant injury he had.
No, I don't think that's true. We didn't really think that he could return to performance week one. I think we talked a lot, even Jamie and I, when we were talking about not drafting him until round five, that we thought in the second half of the season he might be great. It's a little quicker than what I expected, but J.K. Dobbins, it was what, week 12 or 13 last year?
And he had to have a second procedure.
But even he, right. Was like, I don't have my top end speed. For Breece Hall to look this good is it's shocking to me. He had a very serious knee injury. He had two ligaments, as I recall, or he had meniscus. He had ACL and meniscus. And we just had braced ourselves for this inevitability that guys coming back from an ACL, the first year's not that good, you know? And
well, look, let's hold our breath a little bit and hope that, you know, it just wasn't him taking on the Broncos.
Right.
Well, he did it against the Bills. He had a long run against the Chiefs. Yeah, he did crush the Broncos, but pretty good. I tried to watch side by side his long run last year against the Broncos versus this year to see if I felt like he had the same speed. I can't really tell. I have no idea.
I'm sure Next Gen Stats has it.
Well, he definitely slowed down at the end of this run against the Broncos. But yeah, no, top end speed. I don't have access to Next Gen Stats. Are you buying Calvin Ridley coming off a good game?
I mean, go back to the stat Heath referenced from Chris about all those missed touchdowns. You know, what, half of them are Calvin Ridley, if not more?
Yeah.
If he catches any of those, we have such a different opinion of him right now.
Yeah. This is interesting that the two leaders in, I think it's green zone targets for the Jaguars, are Zay Jones, who has 5, and Calvin Ridley, who has 5. And they are the only players on the team with more than one.
That's amazing from Jones because he's missed so much time.
I know.
And I think that was one of the things I did go through and just kind of watch all the red zone, even the good plays. And Zay Jones has 2 of those that were thrown right to the boundary that he got both feet down and brought him in for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Good for him. I wonder if that earns him a little more look in there.
Okay. Let's read our emails and finish the show. From Tony in Miami Beach. Dear Randy, Adam, Stefan, and Justin. Oh,
those are
Vikings receivers.
There he is. There's Evil Schaefer coming in there. Grade the trade. Give Joe Mixon. Get Chris Olave.
Give Joe Mixon. Get Chris Olave.
Yeah.
I don't mind it if you have good running back depth.
In a vacuum, I'd say C-. I think I'd slightly prefer Mixon rest of season.
From Mason, who would you rather have rest of season, Rashad White or Ramondre Stevenson?
Ramondre.
Yeah, I think so.
This is from Jared. Dear Vinny, Turtle, E, and Drama.
Entourage.
Yeah.
Do you think Dan knows that one?
Oh, yeah. He probably will go on a 30-minute rant about how great Entourage is.
It was very good in the beginning.
I know you're kind of friends with one of them, right?
I wouldn't say friends, but I do have somewhat of a relationship with Turtle.
Okay. This is the question. Oh, sorry. The question is, I play in a 10-team Superflex tight end premium league where you keep one player and lose the pick you drafted them the previous year. I decided to start selling for a rebuild, and I sold Justin Fields and a 2024 11th round pick. It is Superflex. For a 2024 second round pick. How did I do?
Oof. The only reason I won't give it an F is if the Bears draft a quarterback next year. Yeah. If they draft a quarterback next year, then you might get off the hook because who knows where Justin Fields end up. But if they stick with Fields, it's a F+.
Okay. From Shant.
You want my 30-second Jerry Ferrara turtle story?
Yeah.
So I was introduced to him through doing Jim Rome's radio show. He was hosting with Kevin O'Connell, I think his name is. So they were co-hosting the show. And off after the show was over, Turtle's big fantasy guy was Jerry's Ferraro's big fantasy guy was very much like trying to see if he can test my knowledge. This was very early in my career. I think my second year doing this job. So all of a sudden I get a random text from him asking me like a fantasy question. And then that lets him ask me a lot of fantasy questions. And he did really well that year. And so the night that I proposed to my wife was like championship weekend for fantasy. And it was him asking for his fantasy question. And we had just gotten back after I proposed. We're like calling our family and friends, whatever. And he texts me. He's like, hey, do you got a second? So I say to Allison, my wife, it's Jerry. Do you mind if I talk to him? She's like, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to call him, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, hey, man, I just got engaged. He's like, oh, cool. Hey, who do I start?
Oh, man. That's I'm sure that made you feel good about your relationship with him. That's good. Someone says you look like...
It was very friendly throughout the whole time.
Someone says you look like Eric Murphy from Entourage. That's like the best friend, you know, the normal guy who tries to keep everyone on track. What's his name? E?
E.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't really a fan of the show. And from Shant, is Rashad White a buy low? Is Brian Robinson and either Cortland Sutton or Michael Thomas for Rashad White too much?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, does Rashad White snap out of what's been a bad four games?
I don't think he's going to snap out of it against the Lions.
No.
Oh, yeah. And then the Falcons. That's a really bad 1-2 punch. Those two teams give up the fewest fantasy points to running backs. That's Rashad White's next two games. So I don't think now's the time to be trading for Rashad White. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Great show. Talk to you tomorrow with Starter Sit for the AFC Home Games on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.